It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, and he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Giants football, Giants offseason football, the draft is on its way. Free agency, of course, already hot and heavy around the National Football League. All the news coming down last week. Brandon Jacobs, Mario Manningham, both going to the 49ers. Devin Thomas moving over, going to the Chicago Bears. The Giants, of course, re-signing Steve Weatherford early in the offseason. And, of course, the NFL draft coming up. Everybody here getting ready for that. Mark Ross, Jerry Reese, all the Giants scouts will be coming in slowly but surely over the next few weeks. They'll have their meetings. They'll formulate their final draft board. And then, of course, we'll find out who the newest members of the Giants are the fourth weekend of April. 201-939-4513. Today we're joined by a not-so-special guest, our usual co-host during the regular season. That's the great Lance Meadow, who's been on assignment for us the last couple of months. Lance, how's everything?
Doing well, John. I'm glad I'm not that special to come on. That was a wonderful intro.
Yeah, that was, in our tradition, I have to take a little shot as I introduce you. How's everything going, man?
Everything's going well. How's the offseason been treating you?
It's been okay. As you well know, as you know, working over there at SiriusXM, doing those NFL updates, the season is starting to heat up a little bit. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of news. And I guess let's start with some of the stuff that broke last week. What are your thoughts on this whole Bill Parcells one-year replacing Sean Payton scenario?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the Saints are just trying to get creative to get through this next season. I think the guy that they really want to take over is Joe Vitt, who is Sean Payton's assistant, who's filled in before when Payton obviously had that knee injury, but he's got to sit out the first six games, and who knows when this appeal process is going to play out. You know, the main factor with Parcells is going to come down to whether or not he's willing to wait to become a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's the biggest sacrifice he needs to make if he were to come back on the sideline. You'd have to wait another 5 years, and he was one of the 10 finalists this year, so that's the big thing that he needs to weigh as to whether or not he wants to come back. But given that he's familiar with Sean Payton because he helped mentor him when they were with the Cowboys, you know, he's a strong disciplinarian, I think he would be a good fit for this team. And also, you know, you've got a winning recipe in place already. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. You know, you would figure they're going to shore up that defense a little. Everything's in place to have a strong winning season. I don't see why he wouldn't want to consider coming back because of that.
Yeah, to me it makes all the sense in the world from the Saints' perspective. We know Bill Parcells loves to coach, but to me, one thing that might hold him back, Lance, I'd love to get your opinion on this, he won't have the authority or the power that he's had in other places he's been, where he's had GM title, the coach title. Even as a coach here, his power will be limited because it's not necessarily his team. He's basically a substitute teacher here, and as you well know, when you're in school and the substitute teacher shows up, people don't necessarily take him as seriously as they do the regular teacher.
Well, I mean, listen, that's a great point. But remember, we don't know how much authority Sean Payton is going to have during his suspension. I know they're going to hear the appeal tomorrow, so whether or not that buys him more time. But Roger Goodell has yet to explain to Payton what he can't and can do during the length of the suspension.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, if he can still be involved in the team in some capacity, I think that would take away the power and the authority of Bill Parcells. But if he really can't do much and he has to sit back and watch from afar, I mean, somebody's got to take control of this team. And also keep in mind, you know, GM Mickey Loomis is going to not have as much authority because he's got to sit out a handful of games. So somebody's going to have to pull the strings for Tom Benson behind closed doors. I would think all signs point to Bill Parcells, but I think Roger Goodell and company need to clarify exactly how strong that power will be.
Obviously, the NFL owners' meetings were last week as well. What are your thoughts on some of the new rule changes that the NFL implemented?
Well, listen, I've always been a big fan of the overtime rules. I think at least both teams should get a possession, you know, unless obviously the first team scores a touchdown. So I'm really excited about that. I think that that was a big rule for them to push through. As far as the horse collar rule, you know, when it comes to the pocket with the quarterback, I can understand their perspective that that's not as big of a threat as it is in the open field. So I wasn't too surprised that that didn't go through. But overall, you know, I was pretty pleased with some of the things that they put through. Each and every year, I think the NFL, compared to other sports, are really doing a nice job of stepping back, evaluating what's worked and what hasn't. And the other key, I think, from the coach's perspective is every turnover is going to be reviewed. I mean, a lot of fans may say, well, listen, NFL games are now going to take 5 hours. But the bottom line is you could look at a lot of turnovers that took place over the course of the season, and a coach didn't have a challenge, and, you know, it wasn't overturned, and that very well impacted the outcome of a game. So, you know what? Better they take the time, get it right, than have other things determine outcome of games. So I'm very pleased with the two big ones that they pushed through this season.
Yeah, we always talk about this, Lance, and to me, length of game is important, and it's great, and you want the games to move as quickly as possible, but I'd much rather have a game go 5 minutes longer than to have a crucial call down the stretch go wrong and the wrong team wins. To me, that's
absolutely
a no-brainer.
Especially when it comes to the postseason, more so than the regular season, because you just don't want gifts or things that, you know, the refs overlooked, you know, wind up really determining who wins and who loses. So I think that, you know, better that the fans have to sacrifice an extra 10 minutes of their time so that their team, you know, certainly has a good opportunity to be in a position to win. That's why, I mean, to me, I think it's a small sacrifice for the fans in the league to pay, as long as they're going to take the time, go under the video review, and make sure that they get it right. I don't think anybody would really complain largely about that factor.
What are you hearing about the potential player penalties coming off the Saints bounty scandal?
Well, I mean, there's certainly a lot of speculation surrounding specifically Jonathan Vilma. I mean, he was mentioned in the report.
Right.
So if there's one player that's taking a lot of heat right now, I would assume that it's him. You know, the league right now can't go through with announcing any penalties because the union is fighting it at this point. And what's now taking place is that the league is in the process of turning all information that they, you know, collected during the course of the investigation and presented to the union. And then once that process takes place, then I think you can start to see the league nearing an announcement of what players will certainly be punished. But I'll tell you this, I would not be surprised from what I'm hearing that just Saints players are going to be punished. You could see Titans players, you could see Redskins players. I mean, Greg Williams has been with numerous teams, and the league has found that certainly there were bounty programs run, you know, from one team to the other in which he had to stop along the way. So, you know, you can have guys that may have been a part of Greg Williams' bounty program 5 to 6 years in the past that all of a sudden could very well get punished, you know, this year and have to pay the price. So that, I think, would not surprise me. And I think a lot of fans and also a lot of people around the league should keep close tabs on that, because you could see guys with the Redskins and Titans be paying the price now.
Yeah, you are hearing about the NFL going back and interviewing former players and coaches on those staffs and in his former stops. And you really don't know at that point, you know, who's going to be effective, what team's going to be effective. This whole thing has just cast a huge black cloud on the league in an offseason. Well, I'm sure the league really wanted to avoid anything like this, considering the lockout last year, all the bad PR from this, and now they got to deal with all this bounty stuff. It can't be something that Roger Goodell is very happy about.
Well, and the other thing to keep in to consideration here, John, is, you know, we're already deep into free agency. If you wind up losing a player that you never expected, and all of a sudden the depth chart in free agency is gone where you can't grab a linebacker, and the draft passes, for example, let's say they don't announce the punishments till May, you know, what do you do? Who do you turn to at that point? Now, I'm sure the league is not thinking about, well, we want to make sure we can, you know, help the Saints out in any capacity we can. But, you know, to keep the balanced playing field set, you want to give teams an opportunity to fill any voids that may present themselves, given that players are punished. And that could very well happen in a month. It could happen in a week. It could happen 2 months from now. There's really no definitive timetable on the plate. And I think that could wind up really coming back to haunt teams as we get near training camp.
And obviously what you're hearing over there at SiriusXM NFL Radio, the potential appeals by Sean Payton and everybody else involved in this, they're not going to go anywhere, are they?
I would doubt it. I mean, I think that Commissioner Goodell is going to hold strong. I mean, certainly he'll give them the time of day, you know, to present their cases. But I don't really see him all of a sudden stepping back and knocking off a game or two. Plus, the bottom line is, even if he takes a game or two away, what can Sean Payton possibly do with only coaching 14 games compared to 16 games, especially when, let's say, you do bring in a Bill Parcells and he puts his stamp on the team? I mean, that's just going to cause a big rift and, you know, some confusion late in the season when you have two coaches with big personalities trying to, you know, make changes all across the team. So I think it would hurt the Saints if you cut Sean Payton's suspension in half or, you know, cut it only down two or three games. I think in the long run, he might as well sit out the season, pay his price, and then start fresh in 2013.
Okay, I want to touch on some Giants stuff with you. Obviously, the news last week. Let's start with the news from a couple weeks ago. They lose Mario Manningham. Where do you see that Giants third wide receiver spot shaking out?
Well, it certainly is an opportunity once again. I know we've thrown this guy's names around, Ramsey Barden, you know, to all of a sudden maybe try to make an impact and get some extra playing time. I mean, Dominic Hixon, I think, is another name that you certainly need to throw out there. Before he got hurt, he was, you know, doing pretty well in that third slot. I know they're probably going to wind up using him on special teams again, given that Devin Thomas is no longer around. But, you know, I think Hixon is a suitable guy that can certainly fill the void. Or perhaps they'll look to, you know, draft a guy in the late rounds, which they did in past seasons, for example, a Barden, to maybe make an impact. You know, the Giants certainly are set with their first two wide receivers. And I think a guy that's really going to help also fill the void, John, is Martellus Bennett. You know, he's a guy that did not get a lot of playing time because he was playing behind Jason Witten. But he's got the athleticism. He's got the ability to really stretch the field. He could become the third threat on that team behind Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks.
And, of course, you have Gerald Jernigan, the Giants' third-round pick last year's too. I'm sure they'll give him an opportunity to get in the mix as well. Brandon Jacobs going to San Francisco, Lance. Obviously, we all know about Ahmad Bradshaw's injury history. He really can't go more than 12 to 15 snaps a game. It's just the nature of the business with his feet and his ankles. Do you think the Giants' complimentary running back to Bradshaw is on the roster, or do you think they're going to draft somebody or try to get somebody in free agency later on in the offseason?
Well, it's really slim pickings at this point in free agency. I would not be surprised if they try to take their chances in the draft. But, you know, once again, just like we talked about with Manningham gone, it could be an opportunity for a Barden or another guy that hasn't gotten a lot of playing time. You know, this could be the year of Darrell Scott. We've certainly heard a lot of good things about him. You know, he practiced hard throughout the course of the year. There were some plays in the playbook. They didn't have an opportunity to go for them throughout the course of the season, but, you know, he's got that speed, he's got that change of pace ability that, you know, he could provide some consistency for Ahmad Bradshaw, given, you know, that he hasn't had the history of getting through 16 games. I certainly would think that this is going to be a guy they're going to lean on. You still have DJ Ware in the mix. You have the depth. The only thing that the Giants, you could say, are missing now is you would like that power back, that guy who could really set the tone from north to south, up the gut, you know, which you lose in Brandon Jacobs. I just don't see a name on the market right now that jumps right off, you know, the charts that you can sign, and also you're not going to have to break open the piggy bank. Keep that in mind. You know, the Giants don't have a lot of cap space to begin with, and I don't think that they're going to go all out of their way to invest in a guy who may only get about 10 carries per contest.
Yeah, Lance, I happen to agree with you. We got a couple callers coming in, so any final comments before we let you go?
No, I mean, listen, I think that we, you know, cover a lot that has gone on throughout the offseason. The bounty program is something that is going to be interesting to continue to watch, and also, you know, what the Giants ultimately decide to focus on in the draft, because we could certainly name a couple of areas, most notably offensive line, that I would like to see them address in the early rounds, because you want to certainly get younger in that category.
You know, you mentioned the draft, Lance. How about middle linebacker? What do you see happening there? That, to me, is the biggest question mark. I don't think the Giants starting middle linebacker is on the roster right now.
I would agree. I think that that's also a big area of not necessarily major concern, but you want to definitely shore it up, you know, given the injuries that they suffered last season. I would also like to see them maybe, you know, turn to a veteran. You don't necessarily need the draft. Maybe you could take a flyer on a guy who, you know, was a backup throughout the course of his career and now may have an opportunity to shine with some more playing time. No name really jumps off the bat right now, but it wouldn't hurt to necessarily just go young, maybe bring in a little bit more experience to help complement this young nucleus that, yes, did get a lot of experience, you know, when they weren't expected to this season, but I still think you want that veteran voice, that veteran presence specifically in a position that really sets the tone in that second layer of defense.
Lancelot, we appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk to you as the offseason goes around.
Will do, John. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
That's Lance Meadow, our co-host on Big Blue Kickoff Live during the regular season. As long as he has a big time us, I expect Lance to be back next year. And we say goodbye to Lance, but we say goodbye to our loyal callers. Let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513. Let's go to Bill in New York City. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. What's up?
Listening to you guys talk, I wanted to say how disturbing it was to see Eli Manning get abused by the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game. And it just
hurt him too,
I'm sure. He's entering his prime now, and we can see what fruits he can bring to the Giants if he's upright and healthy. He is one of the very best quarterbacks in the game. I'd like to see him put an iron curtain in front of that guy. A big offensive line that protects our outstanding quarterback. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, honestly, I would tend to agree. I think the Giants' offensive line right now is in a state of transition, Bill. You saw that same group of guys, Seibert, O'Hara, McKenzie, Snead, and Deal, be so good for so many years in a row. And right. Once you saw O'Hara get hurt and Richie get hurt, and they had to let them go, now Kareem McKenzie is going to transition out this year. They brought David Boss in. The offensive line is in a state of transition, and the Giants want to get that thing shored up as much for protecting Eli Manning as it is for getting the running game going. It's really, right. When you think about it, a minor miracle that the Giants are able to win the Super Bowl last year, and they had the 32nd worst in the league ranked running offense in the entire NFL. So there are a lot of different ways they can go in the draft, whether it's an offensive tackle, you know, put a guy at right tackle like a Cordy Glenn, something like that, or you can draft a guard, move Deal out to right tackle. Luckily, David Deal, to me, Bill, gives the Giants a lot of flexibility. You can draft the most talented offensive lineman, whether he's a guard or a tackle, and then you can move Deal wherever you don't draft the guy at. So I think that gives you a real advantage.
I think you're absolutely right. A good running game. And we were really hurt last year during the middle of the season. And we had over a 4 yard per carry average in the playoffs. So as we got healthy, we saw the improvement in our rushing game. I think you're right. If we rush the ball better, it takes pressure off Eli dropping back. The play action becomes even more of a weapon. I thank you very much for taking my call.
Hey, Bill, thanks for calling, man. Of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every morning from 10 to 10:30. Make sure you check it out right here on Giants.com. And, of course, you can give us a call at 201-939-4513. One of our regulars, Len, is in Maryland. Good morning, Len.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great show this morning.
Good morning.
Great.
How's it going?
Listen, I want to talk draft, but let me just a quick comment. I'm a little surprised that Mr. Benson in New Orleans. You know, I would have thought Mr. Benson would have told Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, go hang your heads in shame. Just hide. Take this penalty. I mean, come on, for the good of the game, take this penalty. They are so guilty, it's unbelievable. Okay, hey, the draft. Little different take on the draft. I'm going to make a comment here, and I'd like to hear what you think about this.
Sure.
There's nobody in this draft from pick one, Andrew Luck, through pick 247, Mr. Irrelevant, who can start on the Giants in 2012. I don't care who it is. They can't start on the Giants in 2012. That's my take. There's only two players. Now, maybe I got the Giants overrated. There's only two players. The running back from Alabama, Richardson, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State, Blackman, who might get significant time the second half of the season, but they're not going to start. Right? So my idea might be we start looking forward to 2013. What three or four free agents who are starters now, contract is up, you know, an Aaron Ross type guy, who we're willing to let go, and we fill in, you know, maybe it's at safety, maybe it's Kenny Phillips. I like Phillips. I really do. I hope he stays with the Giants another 4 or 5 years. But conceivably the Giants could say, hey, Kenny, you know, that's it. You know, just like with Brandon and with Kareem and so forth. So my thought would be maybe we look at safety very early in the draft, maybe with that first pick, and we start looking forward. You know, these guys come in, special teams, and next year they're ready to take over. Now, I'm not getting rid of Kenny Phillips, by the way. If it was up to me, I'd re-sign him. But I just don't think there's anybody in the draft that helps us in 2012.
Well, you know what?
What do you think, Sean?
Well, then I'll say this. I think you're right. In a lot of ways, the Giants are a very talented team. And a lot of guys they get drafted in that first round, especially if you draft, say, a defensive lineman or a wide receiver, they might not be able to play. But look at it this way. If you draft a tight end in the first round, I think he has a chance to start. I think if you draft a tackle or a guard in that first round, they'll have a chance to start. Or if you draft a middle linebacker in the first round, they'll have a chance to start as well. But I think those are probably the only three positions where you'll probably get a starter out of this Giants draft class, at least right off the bat, of course, barring any serious injuries at other positions. I agree the other spots are pretty much set, but those three you can use a starter. But remember, you don't draft based on need, whether it's need now or need in 2013. You draft the best available player, and then you figure things out from there.
There you go. Hey, John, plenty of time till the draft. We'll talk again.
Hey, Len, I appreciate it, bud.
Thank you.
201-939-4513. Also, your questions on hashtag Giants Chat. I'm not sure if this list is accurate, but I found a list online of the Giants' 2013 free agents, just out of curiosity, taking a look at it. Obviously, OC's contract, he has 1 year left on his deal, so he will be a free agent after next season, unless, of course, the Giants decide to re-sign him. Mathias Kiwanuka signed that two-year deal last offseason, so he'll be a free agent then as well. Kenny Phillips, as Len mentioned, is going to be a free agent there. Jake Ballard, Travis Beckham, Victor Cruz, Ramsey's Barden, Kevin Booth could be a free agent at that point as well. So those are all a bunch of things the Giants will have to keep an eye on as they head into next season and start worrying a little bit about that depth chart. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. And by the way, Giant fans, we got a very special event coming up that I want to tell you a little bit about. It's our first ever tweet-up. And now, let me explain what this is a little bit. The Giants have announced that they'll host their first ever tweet-up presented by Pepsi Max with Ancho Roll and Jake Ballard. It's going to take place on Wednesday, April 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Timex Performance Center. Registration begins today at 9 a.m. Of course, you go to Giants.com to register, Neely, that's correct? Giants.com/tweet-up. 50 lucky fans who sign up, oh yeah, well there it is right there, I should just kept reading, Giants.com/tweet-up, who also follow at Giants on Twitter and at Pepsi Max on Twitter, will be randomly selected to attend the event. The tweet-up will feature Q&A sessions with both players and photo opportunities inside the Giants locker room, the weight room, and with the four Lombardi trophies. In addition, each tweet-up participant will receive two tickets to the Giants draft party held Thursday, April 26th. That's obviously the first night of the draft at MetLife Stadium, courtesy of Pepsi Max. For more information, visit Giants.com/tweet-up. So that should be a lot of fun. We're trying our best to use the social media here. Neely does a great job with it to try to get the fans directly connected with the players to, you know, talk a little bit of Giants football with your favorite Giants. Back to the phones, 201-939-4513. Mike's in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Mike.
How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I'm just watching the, I'm just keeping an eye on what the Giants should be doing as far as the draft is concerned.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you. You know, when you said power game with Jacobs, you know, Jacobs really, I mean, there was times where he showed flashiness, you know, he was flashing, but for the most part, he really wasn't, you know, I think we got the best years out of him. I think that him going to San Francisco is not as big as a loss as, say, maybe Manningham.
But, I agree.
You know, out of the three receivers, I mean, I would tend to keep Cruz and Nicks, and if you had to let one go, it would be Manningham. Not that I would like to see him go, but, you know, I'm pretty confident after last year how the Giants handled their injury situation, and I guess that's where the front office and the scouting, because you grabbed a couple guys like Cruz and even Hudnoski,
yep,
who weren't even drafted. So if I'm going into this draft, I'm either going to go, you know, like you say, a lineman, maybe a tight end, but the skill positions, I would kind of like let the caller who said it earlier before, you know, the draft really isn't as rich. There's a couple of guys on there that are, you know, pretty decent, but there's a lot of guys there that, you know, you might be able to snag later, you know, later in the draft there. And see, no problem when you have two number ones and stuff like that. Down the road, it ends up costing you a ton of money anyway. So I kind of like what they're doing with their scouts. You know, like I said, with some of the guys that they picked up without even drafting. So for the most part, I mean, I'm kind of confident in what they can do, but I would tend to lean more towards what you're saying as far as like a tackle a guard, something along those lines. But if you can pick up a halfway decent tight end in the first round, then, you know, I would consider that. But for the most part, that Darrell Scott, you got to give that guy a chance. I think he's he might be the answer for our running back problems. But if you can grab a guy cheap online, then you go that route too.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you. I don't think there's a whole lot of need at the skill positions. If there is one skill position where you might need some help, it's running back, to get that guy to compliment him at Bradshaw. And obviously having a second guy there on Martellus Bennett to push him a little bit wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing either at the tight end position. Obviously, no idea what they're thinking upstairs, what Mark Ross and Jerry Reese are doing. But just looking at the needs on the depth chart, those are two spots at the skill positions, at least, where I think the Giants could use a little bit of help right away.
I've always thought of Bradshaw being a third down back like a Megan years back. I mean, I don't think he's like an every down back, and he takes a pounding. Seems like his feet are always giving him problems. So I heard that the Giants were looking at Joseph Addai. You know, I'm not really big on bringing some of these veterans in because they're more likely to get hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would tend to, you know, possibly just draft, you know, find some school that knows, like, you know, look where Jacobs came from. Nobody was even looking at him. So I'm pretty confident in what the scouts can do and what they find. I'll tell you what, you know, if you would have told me, you know, after the Giants had so many injuries in the defensive backfield early on that they would actually go to and Band-aid it up the way they did is just incredible to me. So that's just, you know, the front office, Jerry Reese, and, you know, obviously the coach. But, you know, running back, yes, you definitely need somebody, but I would go in the draft or just find somebody. I wouldn't even sign one of these vets because you really don't know what you're going to get.
Mike, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And he's right. You don't want to go out there and sign a 30-year-old-plus running back. It just doesn't work. There's a reason the Giants let Brandon Jacobs go the way they did. He's, you know, when you get into your upper 20s and lower 30s and you have a lot of mileage on those legs, you start losing your effectiveness. Running back is a young man's game, a young man's position. It really is. And in my opinion, and again, I don't know what they're thinking upstairs, I'd be shocked if the Giants didn't come away with a running back in the 2012 NFL draft in one of those seven rounds. But, of course, you know, this front office, they're very hard and fast in their philosophy. Pick the best player available. They're not going to reach based on position. But still, I think that you're going to be able to find a running back somewhere in rounds 1 through 7. The Giants with 8 picks in this year's NFL draft. 201-939-4513. Let's wrap up the show with one more caller. Bill's in New Jersey. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, John. I love you guys' show.
Appreciate it.
I was calling because the caller, I guess two callers away, he was talking about how we weren't going to get anybody for the draft this year to contribute, but we also got to remember Marvin Austin was drafted last year. I mean, he had the pectoral muscle. People were talking about the defensive line of how we're going to boost that up a little bit more.
Even a guy like Prince, who didn't play a whole lot in a first-round pick.
Right, exactly. And also James Brewer. We drafted him last year, too. And obviously Jerry Reese loves to mold these guys, and we could see some big things from James Brewer through training camp and things like that.
Jarrell Jernigan as well, the third round pick. Hopefully, you know, maybe use him in that third wide receiver spot. Mario Manningham got.
Absolutely, I mean, I feel that Jarrell Jernigan's a little bit small, but I mean he's speedy, and I mean he could bring good things. I mean, you know, I just have a feeling that they're going to try to use Hickson more in the special teams instead of Jarrell, and maybe possibly use him in the offense, or, you know, vice versa. But, you know, I could definitely see that happening. You know, and I feel good about the roster. Like, you know, the other guy was saying that there's a lot of good talent on this team that hasn't even tried to produce yet in this offense.
Yeah, you know, I think you make a great point, Bill, and it's a bit of a minor miracle. And I mentioned the Giants winning the Super Bowl without running the ball well. How about the fact they got virtually nothing out of their draft class last year? Look, Tyler Sash contributed on special teams. So did Greg Jones. And, you know, that's fine. And Greg Jones put a little bit of middle linebacker on the year. That's fine. Jaquan Williams played well at linebacker. That's cool. But from their first three picks, Prince, Marvin Austin, and Jarrell Jernigan, and throwing your fourth-round pick James Brewer to boot, you basically got zero production out of those guys. And for the Giants to make the run they did without any contributions from your first four draft picks in that year's draft, that's saying something. So you're right. Hopefully those guys will come into their own in year number two. Obviously, it'll be challenging for Marvin Austin. He hasn't played football for two full seasons, basically three full years. So we'll see what we can get out of him. But, yeah, it'll be very important for the Giants to start getting something out of those draft picks last season, because really the first four guys gave you little or nothing.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I also have good high hopes for Darrell Scott, which the guy was saying before. I mean, Ahmad Bradshaw was taken in a low round, I believe, the sixth or seventh.
Yes, seventh round draft.
So, I mean, you know, what's saying Jerry Reese isn't going to do that again this year?
Well, you got to hope the Giants scouts and their draft people have done a great job. But, Bill, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you, Bill. And great job on the phones today, guys. Appreciate it. Some new calls we haven't had before, which I really love to see right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com, which comes your way every morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And, of course, remember, I want to remind you one more time. I mentioned earlier, the Giants announced today their first ever Giants tweet up will be on April 18th, a Wednesday, from 6:30 to 8:30. Go to Giants.com/tweetup for more information. You'll have a chance to talk to Entrell and Jake Ballard, a chance to win and come here live to check it out, take pictures in the Giants locker room, the weight room, the Lombardi trophies. You got to go to Giants.com/tweetup to sign up. Also follow at Giants and at Pepsi Max on Twitter. The tweet up is brought to you by Pepsi Max. And then again, it comes your way on Wednesday, April 18th from 6:30 to 8:30. Also a chance to win tickets to the Giants draft party at MetLife Stadium on Thursday, April 26th. So all that's a lot of fun. Make sure you go to Giants.com/tweetup for more information. Thank you, Dave Melroy, our producer. Great job by the callers. Thank you, Lance Meadow, for joining us on the phone. We'll see you next time right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com.